Excuse me. Good morning. We have just heard the bell in the commons area. I feel a little bit like a school teacher saying, come on in, kids, come on in, take your seats. If you were not able to be here yesterday afternoon, I'm afraid you missed one of the most beautiful wedding services I think I have ever seen. We had a joyous and heartwarming celebration of our own music director, Haejeong Kwon, and her husband, Eung In Daniel Kim. It was recorded on live stream, so if you were not able to make it, please go back and watch. It was absolutely spectacular. The results of last week's election are in. Larry Cooper and Jean Jones are now your representatives on the Elder Nominating Committee. And they will be joined by the Sessions representative, Sarah McCown. Please pray for them in the coming months as they work to discern whom God has called to serve in our next class of elders. 3 weeks from today, on September 15th at 4 p.m. in the sanctuary, I will be installed officially as your pastor. It will be a service. We will have guests. We'll have communion. People will be arriving from all over Cherokee Presbytery, as well as from the Decatur area. So if you're able to attend, we would really love to have you here. There will also be a light reception in Hollis Hall. More about that later. I'm not sure who's putting that together, but I've had a few people approach me. So just some light refreshments afterward. We have a mission opportunity coming up through the Coalición de Líderes Latinos, or CLILA, which is hosting Amigo Days on Saturdays. This is a chance for our Spanish-speaking neighbors to practice having conversations in English as they learn the language. And they need English-speaking friends to sign up to converse with them. If you're interested in meeting new people and sharing in the hospitality of conversation, please contact Alice Ensley for more details. Last week, the Connections team invited you to take a couple of bookmarks with you. We still have quite a few scattered throughout the congregation, through the sanctuary, and in the commons. These Love First, Love All bookmarks are designed to help our community get to know us as a congregation. So put them in books as you lend them out to friends, sneak some around town. I've been told maybe it's not appropriate to just go to the library and fill them all, but I'd say go for it anyway. Do we have any other announcements for the good of all? Then as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship, the peace of Christ be with you all.
please stand for the call to worship. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord of heavenly forces. I would prefer to stand outside the entrance of my God's house than live comfortably in the tents of the wicked.
The Lord is the sun and shield. God is favor and glory.
The Lord gives and does not withhold good things to those who walk with integrity.
Lord of heavenly forces, those who trust in you are truly happy.
And let us pray. Father God, you alone are worthy of praise. Shield us from the distractions of our everyday lives and turn our attention to you alone. Holy Spirit, enter this place and shower us with blessings, that through your worship and song, we may grow in holy communion with you. We ask this in the name of our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Through deep waters or go through times of fiery trial, the Lord our God is with us. With confidence in God, our Creator and Redeemer, let us confess our sins, praying first in silence. And together we pray. O Lord our God, you call us to proclaim the gospel, but we remain silent in the presence of evil. You call us to be reconciled to you and one another, but we are content to live in separation. You call us to seek the good of all, but we fail to resist the powers of oppression. You call us to fight pretensions and injustice, but we sit idly by, afraid to take an outward stand. Forgive us, O Lord. Reconcile us to you by the power of your Spirit, and give us the courage and strength to be reconciled to others. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen. Fear, says the Lord, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. God is doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel.
In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
Come up and join me. I think we only have three today. Come on. You can come up. You know what? That's okay. Good morning. Oops, sorry. You guys made it. Just us today. Oh, I see. Yes. So I thought we would tell them about a little discussion that we had at the table yesterday after the wedding. Do you remember us talking about what's happening tomorrow night? No? Okay. So, do you remember?
No.
No? Okay. So, this is going very well. So, tomorrow night, there is a football camp. Oh, yeah, we remember. And so, there was discussion about whether Leif would like to maybe go to this football camp and see what it's all about. And previous discussions that I thought were just between my husband and I came up at the table about my concern that football is too dangerous. Remember? Yeah. So do you think football might be dangerous?
Yes.
Do you think it's the most dangerous sport?
Yes.
Yes? He listens to his mama. What about you? Do you think football's dangerous?
Yeah.
Do you know what football is? Football's good. She listens to her daddy.
Football's a good game, but Leif calls it a bad game since people hit him.
Oh, yes. Well, now, to be clear, Leif has never played football, so nobody's ever hit him in football. But yes, yeah, so this came up as a discussion. But I have to concede that there are some precautions if you are to play the game of football. And Leif, I want you to know that football is not the only dangerous sport. Yes, okay. So what is it that those of you who watch football, because I don't know that they've ever actually watched a game of football either in our house, what is it that football players do to protect themselves? What do they wear? No, that's how they get hurt, is tackling. How do they protect themselves from getting hurt? Yeah, they have, oh, good word, armor. Yes, we have armor, we have equipment, we have helmets and shoulder pads and knee pads. Oh, and the mouth guard, yes, we got to put in the mouth guard. Have any of you seen the movie Little Giants? It's from what, back in the 80s or 90s when my husband and I were growing up?
The little ones that live in the wall?
Oh, yes, yeah, she watches the littles, where the little people live inside the walls. No, this movie is Little Giants, and it's a peewee football team, and one of the moms sends her little child to play peewee football wrapped in bubble wrap so thick that his arms are out like this, and he can't, and he walks, and he says, "My mom said the padding you sent home wasn't enough." I'm trying not to be that mom. So we are talking today about a different kind of armor, the armor of God. And there are things in this world that mommies don't like to talk about that can hurt you. It's just a fact of the world that we live in. Things are dangerous. Even just walking can be dangerous. But there are precautions to take, right, to help keep us safe. And one of those precautions is putting on the armor of God, where God protects us. So that helmet that we can put on is like salvation. Salvation is what Jesus does for us because he loves us so much. And those shoulder and knee pads or that breastplate is like righteousness. That's making good decisions and trying to live the way God wants us to live. And we have a belt. I don't know if football players wear belts. I would imagine so to keep those pants up. But we wear a belt of truth to remind us who God says we are when the world tells us something different. And then, of course, if you're playing football or softball or soccer, you've got to wear special shoes. You've got a belt on. Good job. What are those special shoes called that they run in, not for church? They're called cleats. They have all these spiny things on the bottom. It helps keep you from slipping and falling when you run on that slippery grass. Yeah, they wear them for soccer and for baseball and football and other sports. Do they wear them for golf? Do they wear cleats? Oh, okay. And so we wear special shoes. It says sandals in the Bible. And those help us be prepared to walk in peace and in love throughout the world, spreading the gospel. You don't like cleats?
The spikes on a bomb. If you tackle someone, I might go.
I know, that's what I'm saying. You tackle someone, you get hurt. Okay. All right, so remember that when life gets hard and or things make you sad or angry, remember that the truth is that you are loved by God and you have special invisible equipment that we wear, armor that we put on that allows us to...
There's one of the stickers that go on our backpacks of the yellow ones say, "You are loved."
Yes, she's remembering the sticker that we put on our backpacks that say, "You are loved." Good job. And so God's love protects us always, doesn't
it? And also the purple sticker that goes on our backpack says, "God loves you."
It sure does. Good job. Will you guys pray with me? Will you talk after me? Okay. Thank you, God, for loving me and protecting me every day of my life. Amen. All right, you can go back to that.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. May the words of our mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Listen for God's word. Then Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, long ago your ancestors, Terah and his sons, Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the Euphrates and served other gods. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. Now if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods, for it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the people, the Amorites, who lived in the land. Therefore, we also serve the Lord, for he is our God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
I'm tempted to say the benediction and let you all go home. That was so beautiful. I think that just ends the service right there. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. I was tempted to read this as you might hear in the movie Braveheart or with Evita standing at the podium, but I think I'm just, after that beautiful music, just read through it. Listen now for the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on the evil day, and having prevailed against everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and belt your waist with truth, and put on the breastplate of righteousness, and lace up your sandals in preparation for the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and in every prayer in supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. July 1st was my first official day working as your pastor. One of the first things I did that day was to begin decorating and organizing my new office. I ordered signs to hang outside the room that say, "Welcome, come on in," or "Out to lunch," or "Caution, sermon under construction." With the help of some lovely ladies, I organized and shelved most of my books, labeling each section. Then I hung canvas wall art with inspirational scriptures surrounded by decorative flowers, butterflies, and hummingbirds. Every time I hear certain scriptures, I imagine this type of wall art. Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Or John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Or Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Some of this wall art has a picture of a lion with a magnificent flowing mane and eyes that bore into your soul. With half of Ephesians 6, verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God." Never quite understood why that needed to go with a lion, but I suppose there are images of Aslan and the Narnians rushing off into battle against the White Witch. Then we have Joshua 24, the second half of verse 15. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." This can be found in any number of Christian households as you go through the entryway with decorative crosses and floral arrangements. It feels good to decorate our spaces with these feel-good messages from Scripture, especially when they're on sale with free shipping. We feel like we've done our due diligence to represent God in our home decor. Visitors are covered by the Word of God upon entrance. Honestly, there's nothing wrong with using scripture as decoration, and it can be comforting to surround ourselves with messages of hope. However, there can also be a risk of dissecting and domesticating the passages, causing them to lose some of their depth of meaning. For example, when a wife hangs a decorative piece of shabby chic wall art on her wall, the ancient Near Eastern patriarchal implications of the household may be lost. She may think of God as merely a close friend whose spirit is always present at her ladies' circle or a women's Bible study group, signified by lighting a scented candle. Then there's the Christian business owner who, as he glances at the mighty lion on his wall with references of godly armor, may think of God as a mighty ally, helping him to defeat his foes in life and business. With God on his side, who can stand against him? That's another great one-liner. If we're not careful, we just might take God and place him in a neat little box of our own making, one that suits our needs and quiets our souls. This is not the message that Joshua or Paul expect us to hear. Notice whom Joshua gathers together near Shechem. The elders, heads, judges, and officers of Israel. When the text says that Joshua speaks to all the people, he's speaking to the leaders, who then take his message to their households. These are the patriarchs of society, and their households can each number into the hundreds. Every man, woman, and child, free and enslaved alike. It was the job of the patriarchs to protect and provide for their extensive families, for all who were under their care. It was a position of power, but as Spider-Man reminds us, with great power comes great responsibility. Lives were at stake. For the Israelites, the family's relationship with God was not one of familiarity, but one of fear. The kind of fear and reverence that comes from being close to a powerful king or lord. You owe your family's very existence to this lord and depend on him to protect and provide for you. This fear can be understood as awe and respect, yes, but it also has an element of actual fear. One change in this guy's mood and your whole world could be upended. The Israelites had been tempted to serve other lords, other gods. The image of Moses, Aaron, and the golden calf would have been fresh on their minds. Elijah would one day challenge the priests of Baal in a divine contest of whose god was stronger. Joshua's call to choose whom each household would serve was not like the spam emails and junk mail that we get during an election season. This was a life or death decision. Which king, which lord, which god is your family going to submit themselves to? Whom do you serve? These fake gods, these evil ones, or will you be like my household and serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Paul joins in on the discussion, reminding us to put on the whole armor of God, to protect ourselves from evil. But what evil is he talking about? Some are quick to see evil as in the evil one, meaning the devil, while others see evil in our enemies, meaning any person who doesn't look, think, pray, worship, or vote like we do. But what if Joshua and Paul are warning us about the evil of the gods that we create for ourselves? What if our struggle, which Paul explicitly states is not against flesh and blood, is truly spiritual? What if the rulers, authorities, cosmic powers, and spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places that Paul describes are the systems, powers, and forces of our own making? What if the golden calf gods we're worshiping are the things we create and believe have the power to protect preserve, and defend us. To whom or what do you turn when you've had a rough day? What is the first thing you do after you've had a fight with your partner? Where do you spend the majority of your money? What is it that keeps you up at night? Where do you find your security? Who or what makes you feel safe? These are the things that we worship every day. We don't like to think of it as worship, but if our time, our money, our thoughts are constantly being directed toward things of this world that we hope will protect us, then we are worshiping false gods. Instead, we must tie a belt of truth around our waists. We must guard our hearts with breastplates of righteousness. We must lace up our special shoes so we can walk in the ways of peace and justice for all people. The evils of the world will be like flaming arrows attacking us from every direction, but our shield is tall and wide and covered in a thick skin that prevents the arrows from penetrating us to the core. The helmet of salvation covers our heads by the grace of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit gives us the Word of God like a sword in our hands, fending off the cares of this world and giving us true and reverent fear of the Lord. May we persevere together, praying for one another as we declare this day whom we will serve, the only God worthy of praise, creator of the universe, redeemer of our souls, and sustainer of our very lives. Whom shall we serve? We shall serve the Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
the word of God read and proclaimed, let us affirm our faith together. In life and in death, we belong to God. Through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit. Is yours different than mine?
Yes.
Okay, I'll read from this. Let us affirm our faith together. We trust in God, whom Jesus called Abba, Father. In sovereign love, God created the world good and makes everyone equally in God's image, male and female, of every race and people, to live as one community. But we rebel against God. We hide from our Creator. Ignoring God's commandments, we violate the image of God in others and ourselves, accept lies as truth, exploit neighbor and nature, and threaten death to the planet entrusted to our care. We deserve God's condemnation. Yet God acts with justice and mercy to redeem creation. In everlasting love, the God of Abraham and Sarah chose a covenant people to bless all families of the earth. Hearing their cry, God delivered the children of Israel from the house of bondage. Loving us still, God makes us heirs with Christ of the covenant. Like a mother who will not forsake her nursing child, like a father who runs to welcome the prodigal home, God is faithful still. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, as Christ offered himself for the life of the world, let us pray for the needs of the world. God, we pray for the church in every land. Help all who serve the living God to be strong in the power of God and to withstand all the temptations of the evil one. For the church universal, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for those who lead your church. Guide the presbyters, bishops, pastors, priests, elders, deacons, teachers, and administrators who order the life of Christian community, that they may persevere in supplication for all the saints and make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For those who lead the churches throughout the world, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for those who govern the nations and exercise authority in civic life. Give our governing officials wisdom for the administration of justice, compassion for the sake of mercy, and determination for the pursuit of the common good. For our current and future political leaders, federal, state, and local, and for the rulers of every nation and city, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for the sick, the poor, and the oppressed. Save those who are in need and strengthen all who minister to them. For those in trouble or want, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God, we pray for war-torn nations, for those who find themselves without food and in constant attack. Guide their leaders to bring peace to this world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, hear these prayers of your people and grant that what we ask in faith we may receive according to your gracious love through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let all who revere the Lord, who desire to serve the Lord in sincerity and in faithfulness, bring their gifts with joyful hearts, for God loves a cheerful giver. Let us pray. Almighty God, we dedicate ourselves to serve you, for you alone are our God. Receive, O God, the gifts we offer, and with these gifts accept the offering of our lives, through Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, friends, God has shown you what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God? Therefore, go out into the world in peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. And know that the strong, sure love of God, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the intimate, connecting presence of the Holy Spirit will be with you now and always. Amen.